luisteraars op de 102.4 FM op de kabel. Het is tijd voor een uitzending van Gospel Radio Zephania vanaf nu tot 1 uur. Voordat we het programma overzicht doorgeven, willen wij Radio Parousia bedanken voor het draaien van daarnet. Zephania Radio, zoals ik al zei, tot 1 uur met het openingsgebed en het bijbelleesplan door zuster Henna vanuit Heemskerk. Na zuster Emma, pastor Samuel Lee van GCF Ministry van Amsterdam met het gesproken woord. En om 1 uur nemen wij afscheid van u. Telefoonnummer is 020-33-76-81-3 of 33-42-32-8. Het is tijd voor het openingsgebed en het bijbelleesplan. Om dat te verwezenlijken gaan we doorschakelen naar Heemskerk. Een goede nacht, zuster Henna.
Goedenacht, broeder Koen.
Van harte welkom. Heet u zegen en gaat u gang.
Halleluja. Door God de Vader, dank u wel, Heer, voor deze nieuwe morgen. Wij loven u, wij prijzen u. Wij geven u alle eer. Vader, en wij willen u zeggen dat wij van u houden. Met ons hart, ziel, geest en lichaam. We willen u loven, we willen u groot maken om wie u bent. En we willen uw woord, Vader God, onderzoeken. We willen leren, we willen van uw manna proeven, van uw manna weten, Heer. Dat we het woord onderzoeken, Heer, en dat we daarin kunnen groeien. Vader, ik vraag een zegen voor Radio Zephania die het mogelijk maakt dat uw woord, uw mannen in de huiskamers terechtkomt. Ik vraag ook een zegen voor degenen die meelezen en voor degenen die luisteren. En ook voor degenen die meedoen aan het bijbelleesplan. Want zonder het meedoen, Heer, kan het niet verwezenlijk worden. En wij vragen ook een zegen voor broeder Cor, zuster Marlene, die het mogelijk maken dat het in de huiskamers terechtkomt. We willen u loven, we willen u prijzen. Wij vragen om uw leiding. Ook deze nieuwe morgen, Vader God. In de machtige naam van Jezus. Amen. En ook deze morgen wil ik een woord met u delen. En dat vindt u in Handelingen 27, vers 3. De reis naar Italië is begonnen. Onder leiding van de Romeinse centurio Julius gaat Paulus aan boord richting Rome. De eerste stop is in Sidon. Hier wonen vrienden van Paulus. Ze worden niet bij namen genoemd, maar laten wel een voorbeeld na. Zij zorgen voor Paulus. Het staat er zo simpel, maar wat zal het veel betekend hebben voor de apostel? Hij was als een gevangen op weg naar Rome. Hij ging een stormachtige reis tegemoet en wie weet wat nog meer. Dan zijn er mensen die hem bijstaan en zorg voor hem hebben. Ze zien naar hem om. Veel eerder in de Bijbel komt een weduwe voor die ook vlakbij Sidon woonde. Zij heeft een poos voor Elia gezorgd toen er geen regen viel. De Heer Jezus stelt haar in zijn tijd nog als voorbeeld. Zorgen voor de mensen van God die in je buurt zijn is belangrijk in Gods ogen. Ja. Zorgen voor de mensen van God die in de buurt zijn is belangrijk in Gods ogen. Ik hoop dat u er klaar voor bent om samen met mij te lezen uit Romeinen 1 helemaal en Romeinen 2. kracht van het goede nieuws, Romeinen 1. Van Paulus, een dienaar van Christus Jezus. Hij heeft mij uitgekozen om zijn apostel te zijn en overal het goede nieuws bekend te maken, namelijk dat God nu heeft gedaan wat hij lang geleden door zijn profeten in de boeken al had beloofd. Het gaat over Gods Zoon, Jezus Christus, onze Heere. Menselijk gezien stamt hij van David af. Doordat hij nou terug uit de dood kwam, heeft de Heilige Geest met kracht bewezen dat hij de Zoon van God is. Jezus Christus heeft mij de genade gegeven en tot apostel gemaakt om mensen van alle volken op te roepen God te gehoorzamen en in Jezus Christus te geloven. U hoort daar ook bij. Ook u bent geroepen om bij Jezus Christus te horen. Beste vrienden van God in Rome, die geroepen zijn om bij God te horen. Het is mijn diepe verlangen dat u de genade en de vrede van God, onze Vader en van de Heer Jezus Christus zult ervaren. Om te beginnen dank ik God door Jezus Christus voor u allemaal. Want het nieuws dat u in Christus gelooft gaat over de hele wereld. God weet dat ik voortdurend voor u bid. Ik dien hem met hart en ziel en vertel de mensen het goede nieuws over zijn Zoon. Telkens wanneer ik bid, vraag ik God of ik, als hij het goed vindt, een veilige reis naar Rome mag maken om u te bezoeken. Ik verlang ernaar u te zien. Ik wil u zo graag iets geestelijk geven, iets waardoor u versterkt wordt. Of kan ik beter zo zeggen, ik wil graag dat u en ik door elkaars geloof bemoedigd zullen worden. U moet weten, broeders en zusters, dat ik vaak van plan ben geweest u te bezoeken om bij u, net als bij andere volken, mensen voor Christus te winnen. Maar tot nu toe was ik steeds verhinderd. Het is namelijk mijn plicht om beschaafde volken en volken zonder beschaving, ontwikkelde en ongeletterde mensen het goede nieuws te brengen. Daarom verlang ik er vurig naar om, voor zover dat in mijn vermogen ligt, ook u in Rome het goede nieuws te brengen. Ik schaam mij niet voor het goede nieuws. Het is immers door de kracht van God het middel waardoor mensen die het geloven gered worden. In de eerste plaats is dit nieuws voor de Joden, maar ook voor alle andere volken. Want in het goede nieuws wordt de rechtvaardigheid van God bekendgemaakt. Dit betekent dat iedereen volkomen op hem moet vertrouwen. De profeet Habakkuk heeft immers geschreven: de mensen die rechtvaardig zijn, zullen door hun geloof echt leven. Vanuit de hemel straft God alle slechte, zondige mensen die door hun slechtheid de waarheid over hem in de weg staan. Want die mensen kunnen heel goed weten dat God er is. Hij heeft het hunzelf bekendgemaakt. God is wel onzichtbaar, maar uit alles wat hij geschapen heeft, blijken zijn eeuwige kracht en goddelijkheid. Want sinds het ontstaan van de wereld is zijn bestaan duidelijk te herkennen uit wat hij gemaakt heeft. Daarom hebben de mensen geen enkele verontschuldiging. Hoewel de mensen in staat waren God te kennen, wilden zij hem niet de eer geven die hem toekomt en hem niet eens danken voor alles wat hij heeft gedaan. Ze hielden zich met allerlei ideeën bezig. In hun verdwazing raakten zij het spoor bijster. Hoewel zij dachten dat ze alles wisten, waren zij in werkelijkheid dom. In plaats van de eeuwige God te eren, maakten zij afgodsbeelden van sterfelijke mensen, vogels, zoogdieren en reptielen. Daarom liet God hen een speelbal worden van hun eigen onreine begeerten en zo gingen ze elkaars lichamen misbruiken en onteren. Zij ruilden Gods waarheid in voor de leugen. Ze veredelden dingen die God gemaakt heeft in plaats van God zelf. Hij is toch de maker? Hem komt toch alle eer toe voor altijd en eeuwig? Daarom heeft God hen losgelaten en zijn hun slechte begeerten hun de baas geworden. Het is zelfs zo erg dat de vrouwen zich van natuurlijk seksueel leven hebben afgekeerd en op een tegennatuurlijke wijze met elkaar omgaan. En met de mannen is het al even erg. Die willen niets meer weten van de natuurlijke seksuele omgang met vrouwen, maar branden van begeerte naar elkaar. Mannen die schandelijke dingen doen met andere mannen, zo ondervinden zij de straf die ze verdienen voor hun afdwalen van God. Omdat zij niets van God wilden weten, heeft God hen overgelaten aan alles wat in hun verdorven gedachten opkomt. Zij gaan zich te buiten aan allerlei onbehoorlijke dingen. Zij zitten vol onrechtvaardigheid en misdaad, vol hebzucht, kwaadaardigheid en jaloezie. Ze zijn uit op moord, ruzie, list en bedrog. Gemeen als ze zijn, houden zij van roddel en kwaadsprekerij. Zij haten God. Het zijn brutale verwante opscheppers. Ze weten altijd wel iets slechts te bedenken en zijn hun ouders ongehoorzaam. Ze zijn onverstandig en onbetrouwbaar, liefdeloos en genadeloos. Ze weten dat God dit niet kan toestaan. Want wie zoiets doet, verdient de dood. Maar toch doen ze het. Erger nog, ze vinden het prachtig als anderen eraan meedoen. We gaan naar Romeinen 2. De straf voor de zonde. Maar ook alle andere mensen treft dit oordeel. Want wie een ander veroordeelt, veroordeelt daarmee zichzelf. U doet immers dezelfde dingen. Wij weten dat God rechtvaardig oordeelt. Hij geeft ieder die zulke slechte dingen doet een rechtvaardige straf. Of denkt u misschien dat u, die de ander veroordeelt voor dingen die u zelf ook doet, God straft zult ontlopen? Bent u dan niet blij dat God zoveel liefde toont en trouw en geduldig is? Begrijpt u niet dat hij zo lang met zijn straf wacht om u de kans te geven met de zonde te breken? Maar nee, u blijft hardnekkig weigeren uw leven te veranderen. Het is uw eigen schuld als de toorn van God u treft op de dag van het rechtvaardige oordeel. Wanneer hij de wereld oordeelt, zal hij ieder geven wat hij verdient. Hij geeft eeuwig leven aan hen die geduldig de wil van God doen op zoek naar de glorie en eer en het leven dat nooit eindigt. Anderzijds zal hij zijn strenge straf laten neerkomen op hen die alleen maar aan zichzelf denken en die in plaats van zich aan de waarheid te houden onrecht doen. Wie liever kwaad doet, zal leed en ellende te verduren krijgen. Dat geldt voor iedereen, niet alleen voor de Joden, maar ook voor alle andere mensen. Maar ieder die het goede doet, zal door God worden verhoogd en vrede ervaren. Ook dat geldt niet alleen voor de Joden, maar eveneens voor alle andere mensen. Want God maakt geen onderscheid. De mensen die de wet van God niet kennen, gaan verloren zonder dat er naar de wet verwezen wordt. En de mensen die de wet van God wel kennen, worden door de wet veroordeeld. Om voor God vrij uit te gaan, moet u doen wat hij wil, of u zijn wet nu kent of niet. Hoewel er veel volken zijn die de geschreven wet van God niet hebben, doen die van nature toch wat God wil. Daaruit blijkt dat zij weten wat goed en kwaad is. De wet van God staat in hun hart geschreven. Hun geweten vertelt hun wat ze moeten doen. Hun gedachten klagen hen aan, ene keer aan en spreken hen de andere keer vrij. Dit is het goede nieuws dat ik breng. Er komt een dag dat Christus Jezus in opdracht van God zijn oordeel uit zal spreken over het verborgen leven van de mensen, over hun diepste gedachten. En u, die er trots op bent Joden te zijn, vertrouw op de geschreven wet van God. U bent er trots op dat u de enige ware God kent en weet wat hij wil. Omdat u onderwijs uit de wet krijgt, kunt u onderscheiden wat goed is. Daarom beschouwt u zich als mensen die blinden op de goede weg leiden, als een licht voor hen die in het duister leven. Omdat in Gods wet de waarheid en de kennis onder woord zijn gebracht, denkt u buitenstaanders en kinderen iets te kunnen leren. Maar als u anderen onderwijst, waarom onderwijst u zichzelf dan niet? U beweert dat men niet mag stelen. Stelt u zelf dan niet? U zegt dat men geen overspel mag plegen. Maar wat doet u zelf? U zegt dat u een grote afkeer van afgoden hebt. Toch profiteert u van de tempel. U gaat de pret op Gods wet te kennen. Maar waarom maakt u God dan te schande door zijn wet te overtreden? Er staat niet voor niets in de boeken. Het is uw schuld dat de naam van God over de hele wereld door het slijk gehaald wordt. Uiteraard heeft uw besnijdenis naar de Joodse wet alleen waarde als u zich aan de wet houdt. Maar als u dat niet doet, bent u niet beter af dan de mensen die geen Jood zijn. Als niet-Joden zich aan de wet houden, zal God hun dan ook niet alles geven wat hij de Joden beloofd heeft? Zij, die niet van geboorte Jood zijn, maar wel de wet van God naleven, zullen u, die de wet kent, maar niet houdt, veroordelen. Dat u als Jood geboren bent en volgens Joods gebruik besneden wil, nog niet zeggen dat u een echte Jood bent. Nee, een echte Jood is iemand die zich in zijn hart met God verbonden heeft. Het gaat er niet om of u lichamelijk besneden bent, maar om uw hart en gedachten voor God geopend zijn. Dat is de besnijdenis, door de geest, niet volgens de letter van de wet. Iedereen die zo'n levensverandering heeft ondergaan, krijgt zijn eer van God, niet van de mensen. Amen. Luisteraars, ik wens u God zegen toe. En zo de Heer het wil tot de volgende keer. Amen.
Amen, zuster Emma. Dank u wel voor dit prachtige hoofdstuk of hoofdstukken die u gelezen hebt. Wij wensen u een fijne gezegende luistertijd toe. Goede nacht, rust en zo de Heer het wil. Tot een volgende keer.
Dag, broeder Cor. God zegen u voor bent.
Dank u wel.
En de groetjes.
Doei ik.
Ja hoor, dag.
U heeft kunnen luisteren naar het Bijbelleesplan. Gelezen werd door zuster Henna vanuit Heemskerk Live. En natuurlijk heeft ze tevens ook het programma geopend met gebed. Tijd in de uitzending van Sifaya Radio, bijna 5 minuten voor 12:30. Samuel Lee van GCF Ministry in Amsterdam.
Thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you. Because it's all about you, your son Jesus Christ on the cross, who died for our sins and rise on the third day. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you made this possible for us to come together and worship you, to come together and celebrate the resurrection day. We thank you, Father God, that you brought all our brothers and sisters who are here today. I pray that their lives will never be the same again. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I want you to open with me the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to open with me the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then don't close your Bibles. Keep it open. And if you know how to memorize these Bible verses, then you don't need the Bible. You have it in your head. But those who didn't memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 15, open your Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to read from verse 12 onward. I don't know where I'm going to stop. We're going to open verse 12, please. And what is written there? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. It says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. Stop there, brothers and sisters. Today is the day of resurrection. I like to use that word, the day of resurrection. And the whole world is celebrating the risen Jesus. The risen Jesus who was killed, died on the cross, and on the third day he rose. Okay? And there are people in this world today who deny the resurrection of Jesus. But the Apostle Paul says in verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. My brothers and sisters, if Christ has not been risen from the dead, you and I have been wasting our times. You and I have been wasting our coming to the body of Christ, to church, to pray, to worship. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, you and I have wasted our entire life. But one thing is for sure, that Christ has risen from the dead. And if Christ has risen from the dead, therefore we have hope and we have faith in Christ, in the risen Christ, not in a dead Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, believe in the risen Christ. My friend, Christ died once for all, died once for our sins, and he rise again on the third day. Without resurrection of Christ, our belief in Christ is religion. Amen? And there is no more hope, and there is no more faith in Christ. Let me give you an example. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he promised before that he's going to die, he's going to suffer, and on the third day he's going to rise. But the disciples did not really listen to the preaching of Jesus. They only focused to his death. Just like some of you today, maybe you are not focusing to my preaching, you are focusing to many other things. Hello. So Jesus Christ, he said already, I'm going to die on the cross, I'm going to destroy the power of the enemy, and on the third day I'm going to rise. But while he was saying that, these people are thinking different things. That is why 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, and the disciples have not seen him yet, I want to give you a story. There is Peter with his friends walking in the streets of Jerusalem. And Peter said to his friend, listen, everything is over. Christ died. He didn't rise. We didn't see him rise. It's over. It's finished. Let's go back fishing. What was the job of Peter? Fishing. His job was a fisherman. And now, according to him, Jesus has died. He didn't rise. Let's go back fishing. This is what happens when you don't believe in resurrection. When you don't believe in the risen Christ, there is no hope. There is no faith in our life. Even you can be the greatest apostle and saint in the world. When you don't believe in the risen Jesus, your hope is taken away from you, my friend. And when your hope is taken away from you, you want to go back to your old lifestyle. When you don't believe in risen Jesus, you go back to your own lifestyle. And he says to his friend, let's go fishing. Everything is over. It's finished. Show is over. Charismatic conference is finished. He died. Let's go back now. Let's go fishing. Going back to the old lifestyle. My friend, the Bible says, he who believes in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. If you are in Christ Jesus, you don't need to go back to your old life. Look ahead, look forward, because Christ Jesus is... Hey, this is the woman who is preaching. Christ Jesus is...
Risen.
Risen. When your faith and hope is in risen Jesus... You are a new creation. You are new. Whatever happened in the past is finished, is gone. You're going to start new beginning. You're going to start a new life. Don't look back. Go forward. Because Christ is... Oh, come on now. I feel like preaching today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, let's go back fishing. And you know what these people did? They went back fishing. They fish whole night. They fish whole night, but they couldn't catch one fish. You know why? Because they went back to their old lifestyle. And all things that they did, they couldn't fish one fish. And they are disappointed. They are bitter. All these things that we have been believing, all these things that we have is useless, is nothing. Let's walk. And there, Jesus is walking with them. Jesus is walking with them. Hey, how are you today? I'm fine, but don't touch me. The whole night, I try to fish, but I catch no fish. And Jesus trying to show himself to them that I am Jesus. Oh, don't talk about Jesus. You know, the guy died on the cross. He promised that he's going to rise, but you know, you don't know. You don't know what we have been going through. But they don't know that it is Jesus walking with them. My friends, sometimes you are so occupied with your problems that you don't see Jesus walking with you. That you don't see Jesus is with you when you pass through the valleys and the shadows of death. Because you are too much occupied about your problems. Are we listening today? Ha, don't talk to me about you. But Jesus, it's me, oh. It's me. No. Listen, you don't know what we went through. They are not even looking at his face. If they would have looked at his face, if they would have listened to his face. Sometimes, my friend, you are preoccupied, busy day and night with your problems. Problems. Don't look at your problems. Look at risen Jesus. If these two disciples looked at the risen Jesus, they would not look at the problems. Whenever, my friend, I go through hardship and difficulties, I don't look at problems around me. I don't look at people around me. I look at Jesus, because when I look at Jesus, he gives me life. He gives me blessings. He gives me joy. He gives me hope. You know why? Because he is not dead. He is alive. Somebody praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He is alive. And because he is alive, I look at living Jesus. I don't look at the dead Jesus. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. Oh, come on now. And you don't need to crucify yourself. You don't need to kill yourself. Someone died for you already. Someone was crucified for you already. You don't know. We have been fishing all night. Yes. When you fish all night, when you try to catch fish all night, but you don't recognize Jesus in your life, life without Jesus is futile and useless. Because we come and we go. Every human being is just a sentence in the book of God. It starts and it ends with a point. That's it. But if your life is not in Jesus, that sentence is useless. To die is to live. To believe in Christ is to live. He said, I go back to my life. I go fishing. I go back to my... One day, one guy came to me and said, Pastor, I don't want to believe in Jesus anymore. I said, why? He said, because I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've doing dry fasting, I have been doing all the dry things. But still, he didn't answer my prayer. I want to become a Buddhist. I said, it's okay, be my guest. If you want to be a Buddhist, be my guest. But you don't do those things because you want God to answer you. You need to find the treasure giver, not the treasure. You need to find life giver, not life. Because life giver has life itself. Are we listening today? Are you listening? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, but you don't know what we went through. We fish all night. We couldn't catch. Yes, because you didn't look at the living Jesus. You didn't catch. And then Jesus saying to them, sons, go back and fish one more time. Ah, come on, don't joke with me. What are you talking about? Go and throw your nets. You remember the story? On the right side of your boat. If you throw your nets on the right side of the boat, you're going to catch fish. Now they are beginning to listen to the resurrected Jesus. Hey, Jesus is saying, go and fish on the right side. And when they throw the fish on the net on the right side, they catch a lot of fish. And before they know, Jesus is preparing a breakfast for them. Can you imagine in the morning, Jesus preparing a breakfast for you? My friend, you believe in risen Jesus. You don't believe in a dead Jesus hanging on the cross in the church. Hello? That Jesus has already came out of the cross. He is risen. The cross is empty, my friend. Because the death couldn't hold him. The chains of death couldn't keep him. On the third day, he rose, my friend. And because he is risen, you're going to catch on the right side of the boat. And you're going to catch fish. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching today. Hey. He says what? He says, our preaching is useless. So is your faith. Without Jesus' resurrection, your faith is useless. But when you believe in risen Jesus, do you know that right now that risen Jesus is here with us? Right now that risen Jesus is in your heart, is here, because the Bible says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, so where I will be with you. He is here today. The only thing is, recognize him. Discover him. That little voice speaketh in your heart, talking to you, is Jesus. Oh, come on now. Come on now. Let's go further. 1 Corinthians 15, let's go further. And then in verse 17, he says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. He's repeating again. You are still in your sins. You see, my friend, when Christ died on the cross, he didn't die for a Hollywood movie. Hello? He didn't die for a Hollywood movie, sir. You know why he died? He didn't die for decoration. He didn't die because he can die, we can make a nice painting of him. He died, you know why? Because he took my sins. I don't say your sins because you don't have sins, but my sins because I'm a sinner. My sins, You are all holy, huh? No, no, your sins too. He took your sins and my sins like a Lamb of God sacrifice. He died on the cross. So my friend, this is not a Hollywood movie something. This is your sins, my sins, generational sins. He took it upon himself and died on the cross. Oh, come on. Come on. He paid the price for you. He bought you free, my friend. He bought you free, not with cash dollars, not with euros, not with nairas, not with reals. He bought you free with his life. There is a price on your head, and that price is the blood of Jesus Christ. And he paid a price with his blood. Ooh. How are you listening to me? He bought you free with his blood. You don't need to kill goats anymore. You don't need to kill animals anymore. You don't need to shed the blood of those poor animals. Because God does not want that sacrifice no more. Because someone died on the cross to buy your sins away. You need to realize that. That's why I am boiling today. That's why I am still on fire. After 21 years, I'm still preaching the word. You know why? Because without Jesus, I am nothing. I don't know about you. With my PhD, master degree, DRS degree, all of them put it in toilets if I have no Jesus in my life. I am nothing without Jesus. I don't know about you, my friend. I don't know about you, my sister. But one thing, let me tell you. I am very weak. I am very weak. Without Jesus, I am nothing. I am weak. I am useless. But with Jesus, he who is strong makes me strong. I don't understand some people, you know. They have their PhDs and so. So do I have also. What did PhD bring me? Some prestige and some name and in some case salary, but that one, no. But what did Jesus bring me? Life. Life, man, life. No Jesus, no life. Are you listening? That is what Jesus did, that guy did, that man did, that Son of God did. And if Christ has not yet been raised, your faith, verse 17, is futile. You are still in your sins. Verse 18, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. In other words, then our baptism is useless. Those who die in Christ are useless. Everything is useless because we don't believe in resurrection. Hallelujah. Verse 21, I cannot read the whole thing. Verse 21, let's go to verse 21. For since death came through one man, are you listening? Since death came through one man, the resurrection of the dead comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Oh my God! You know what this says? Let me give it simple translation. Simple translation says, through Adam, we all died. Even you can be alive. Even you can breathe. Even your body smells to nicest perfumes in the world. But if you don't know Jesus, you may be alive physically, but you are already dead. Are we listening today? He says, death came through one man, Adam. So some people who blame woman, now listen well, huh? He said man. Don't come preach to me, it's a woman did. No, my friend, man, humanity did. Humanity sinned. They sinned against God. And because they sinned against God, humanity died. So death came through one man, one humanity, Adam. He died because he sinned. And when he sinned, the Bible says, listen, verse 17 again, verse 21 again, he says, for since death came through one man, resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam we all die, so in Christ all are made alive. Anything. He said, I am life and resurrection. Whoever believes in me shall never die. And even if you are dead, you shall live again. My sister, my brother, my mother, my father, let me tell you something. Without Jesus, there is no life. Nothing can make you happy. You can have all. I have seen richest people in the world in my life. Mama, I'm telling you. Richest people in my life. I've seen people, they have high-tech kitchen. Their kitchen is as big as the whole church. Only kitchen, huh? I've seen them. I've been with them. But they are one of the most unhappy, sometimes I don't want to use the word miserable, people in the world. With all their money, with all their wealth. I have seen people, philosophers, doctors, not one PhD, three PhDs. Engineer, doctor, PhD, whatever. But when you look at their lives, it's all confusion. The more they know, the more they are confused. But without Jesus, life is confusion. Without Jesus, all the richness, all happiness, all this joy, party, party. Some people, they think happiness comes through party. They like to go party. Not political party, huh? That's another something. I'm talking about party. They go enjoy in the party. Easy come, easy go. Nice, nice, nice. Friends, girlfriends, boyfriends, gossip, drinking gin, alcohol, whiskey. Nice! Next morning, you have headache. Next morning, you have headache. Yes, you have stress. And then you're going to say, I'm going to drink no more. But 3 days later, the friend will come and say, hello, let's go have party again. Weekend party. You go weekend party. Who cares about Pastor Samuel Lee's preaching? Let's go to party. Party in and party out. Before you know, you end up confused. And you're going to say, is this my life? What have I done with my life? I'm already 50 years old, nothing. Party here, party there. I'm preaching to you today. Listen to me very carefully today. Life comes through Jesus. Life does not come through anything else. Let's go further, please. Verse 24, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdoms to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, all authority, and all power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Oh, come on now, somebody. You see, my friend, let me tell you something. You are only looking at the surface of the things. You are only looking at the outside things of the world. But I want to come and give you an assurance that until Christ has not put everything under his feet, he is not going to stop. Listen. Verse 25. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. All his enemies, what does it mean? Hunger, sorrow, sadness, pain, wars, hatred, anger, gossip, jealousy, all these things Christ will bring under his feet. Underneath his feet. Are you listening? Let's go. Verse 26, this is the last. Verse 26. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Hey! Some people, you are afraid of dying. Don't worry, sometimes me too. But let me tell you something. Don't look at me so holy, huh? Don't say you are not. Some people are afraid of dying. Sometimes me too, I'm afraid of dying. It's normal. If you are not afraid of dying, then there is something not normal with you. But No, I'm joking. But, you know, everyone afraid of dying. It's normal. But he says, the last thing the enemy will destroy is dying. Death. Death is going to be destroyed. Why? Because this reminds me of a song. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the Lord. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the Lord. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the Lord. No more dying there. The last enemy to be conquered is death. Death cannot hold Jesus. He is the firstborn out of death. He rises from the dead. And because he rises from the dead, you and I will also rise from the dead. The dead cannot stop you. The dead cannot hold you. The dead is only the beginning of something new. Come on. Hallelujah. Everything is under his feet. Everything. Now, let's go further. Verse 29. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? Now, some people misunderstand this verse in their religious culture. They baptize themselves on behalf of the dead. So I don't want to go into that theology right now, okay? Forget it. Don't confuse yourself with that part. But let's go further. Verse 30. Verse 30 says, and as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die every day, say Apostle Paul. I die every day. I mean that, brothers, just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, to live is to die. You see, my friend, you don't need to kill yourself for Jesus. Jesus doesn't want you to kill yourself, just like those people who crucify themselves every year in Easter and CNN shows. You see, my friend, that is not what Jesus wants. Jesus doesn't want you to die for him. He wants you to live for him. Live for Jesus. Don't die for Jesus. Live for Jesus. All right, all right, all right. Let's go. Let's go further. Let's go further. Let's go to verse 35. Verse 35. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? How are the dead raised? Now we are not talking about only the resurrection of Jesus, but also we are going to rise with Jesus in the resurrection day. But some may ask, how are the dead raised? What, with what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be just a seed, perhaps a wheat or something else. Verse 38. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not same flesh. Men have one kind of flesh. Animal have another. Bird have another. Fish have another. There are also heavenly bodies. And there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind. The splendor of the earthly bodies is another kind. The sun has his own kind of splendor. The moon another. And the stars another. And the star differs from the star in splendor. Now comes the verse. Verse 42. So will be. Somebody say so will be. Verse 42. So will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It will raise imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. Oh, come on, somebody give the Lord a clap offering. Wow. Listen, listen, I want to close with this verse. He says, so will be on resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable. You may have a perishable body today, but a day will come that all these perishable bodies will be imperishable, perfect, full of glory, full of power. No more pain, no more sickness, no more illness, no more crying, no more dying. You know why? Because behold, I will make all things. Hey! Woo! Hey! I will make all things new. The body that is sown perishable. Listen to me, my friend. The body that is sown perishable. Yes, this body will perish in the ground. Worms, insects, all of them will eat it. It's perishable. But when resurrection comes, that perishable body will rise. Imperishable. Hey, don't think your life is only this. My life is only this. Then listen what he says. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Sometimes some people, when I talk to you, don't get offended. You are always tired, always weak. Some people are even not married, they are single. They don't have children. They don't have a husband. They don't have wives. They are always busy and they are always tired. Then I tell them, my friend, listen, I am a father. I have 3 children. I have my wife. I have my personal family in Holland. They are very big. Then I have a church of 200 plus people, counseling here and counseling there. I have my preaching duties. I have my seminar duties. I have my human rights duties. I have my university duties. I am here in duty and there in duty. Sometimes I also feel tired, but there is something that gives me energy. You know what that something is? The power of Jesus. That's why I say, without Jesus, I cannot do it. Young people, what's happening to you? The other day, I'm asking someone who is finishing his FEVEO, what do you want to study after? Well, I don't know. We'll see. Which university do you want to go? I don't know. We'll see. What are your future plans? I don't know. As the Lord brings, we'll see. Do you have any plans in your mind? Well, I don't know. I feel cool. I'm cool, man. I'm cool. You feel cool. In my time, when I was a young boy, at the age of 12, I want to be Mahatma Gandhi. Already I have big imagination in my head. When I'm already 15, I realize I cannot be. When I am 16, I choose my study. I already know what I want to study. Young people, life. Have life. Be joyful, be happy. Hey, there is so many things waiting for you. But do it with Jesus. Are you listening to me, young guys? Hello? There, young guys, there. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. He says, weakness. Weakness will turn into power. Are you weak today? Your weakness will turn into power. Your natural body has problems. One day, your spiritual body will be perfect. This is how it will be. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. There is wisdom in these verses, but I stop right now. Let us stand up now on our feet.
En met dit woord gesproken door Pastor Samuel Lee van GCF Ministry in Amsterdam, moeten wij afscheid van u nemen. Stefanie Radio dankt iedereen voor het luisteren, voor uw reactie en natuurlijk ook voor uw gebeden. Stefanie Radio gaat eruit en zo de Heer het leidt. Om 12 uur vannacht zijn we er weer met een nieuwe aflevering.